I do hope you are all well, and you're ready for me to have a little chat with my guest who is on the phone this morning, and it's Deborah Wellington. Are you there with me, Deborah?
Oh, hi, Kerry.
Lovely to hear you loud and clear, and coming all the way from Devon this morning, you tell me.
That's right. It's Exmouth in East Devon.
Lovely. A lovely, lovely part of the world. Quite rugged in places, in fairness, but a rugged beauty nonetheless.
That's right. It's near the sea, which is lovely.
Well, you know, now, if my wife was here now, she would be saying, oh, I wish I was there, because her favourite part of the country is absolutely Devon and Cornwall. And she just loves it. If she can be anywhere near a seagull, as long as she's not trying to nick your chips, she's happy. Yes.
Yeah, they're inclined to do that.
they do. They do. Yes. And we, you know, we have our fair share of them here in Cardiff as well, Deborah. So we're well used to getting dive bombed and having pasties stolen or chips. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We are going to talk in due course about your book, The Animal Says. But first up, Deborah, if we may, let's find out a little bit about you. I've already told our lovely listeners a few tantalising clues, but please give us a potted life history first up.
Okay. Well, I was actually born in Falmouth in Cornwall.
Yeah.
And then when I was about a year old, we moved up to Limpston, which is a lovely fishing village about 3 miles from Exmouth.
Okay.
But now I live in Exmouth. But yeah, I went to school in Exmouth at what was then the comprehensive, did my O and A levels. And then I went to South Devon College, which was in Torquay. It's in Paignton now. I did a diploma in graphic design. I did a few jobs, and then I worked for almost 30 years in local government at Teignbridge District Council.
Right.
But art was always my interest. I always wanted to do something creative. The last few years of working, I was getting a lot of anxiety driving down because I had probably about a 25-mile car journey.
Right.
I was getting a lot of panic attacks. So I left there and became an activities coordinator in a care home in Budley Salterton.
Yes, yes.
And I was doing a lot of activities. But what I was really finding was that the art I was doing with them really helped. I mean, especially with people with dementia, I found that they sort of focused on the art. So I left there, became self-employed, going into care homes, running art sessions, doing lots of different things, not only just art. I was doing weaving and clay and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
And then, of course, the dreaded COVID hit in March 2020. And so I couldn't go in. So really, this is where the book started. I just thought, right, well, I've got to do something. I'll concentrate on my own artwork. And I had these animal designs, which I was looking to sell for children's bedrooms and nurseries.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I sent an email off to a few children's publishers, and it was Sean Russell from Candy Jar Books that got in touch with me because he really loved the illustrations because they're quite quirky, really colourful. But I didn't have any text because I'm not a writer, really. I'm an artist.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? That as you've just said, I mean, obviously all your work up until then had been very much in the creative sector, certainly. But and obviously illustrating was clearly quite a passion of yours, wasn't it?
It's very old school. In fact, the style of my illustrations, people compare it to Eric Carle, you know, the very hungry caterpillar.
Indeed, indeed.
Because, I mean, the process is basically the same. I do collage. So I make a lot of the papers myself. I sort of paint over recycled paper, newspapers, anything really.
Mm-hmm.
So I paint and stamp and make marks and cut it out to make each illustration. So it's stuck down. So it's very old school, but
yeah,
it gives
yeah.
it quite a different sort of look to a lot of these sort of digitally produced illustrations.
And I mean, that must have given you a huge amount of pleasure doing that. I mean, not just from the hands-on point of view, that I mean, it genuinely was an opportunity for you to get your hands dirty. But as you say, rather a nice sort of nod to some of the great illustrators of the past and who had already used that method, because back then there weren't that many other alternatives.
That's right. And it is. It's a very tactile process.
Hmm.
I mean, I work in my son's old bedroom, So yeah, I mean, it gets very messy, very untidy, but actually, what do they say? A clean desk is a sign of a sick mind.
They do say that.
My desk is very untidy, but that's just how I work. But yeah, they're great fun to create these illustrations, and that's really why I do it.
Why you do it. So fair enough. You had all these great ideas for wonderful illustrations of different animals and so on, but I mean, clearly then, that was only half the story, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. So speaking with Sean, he said, you know, love the illustrations, but we need a couple more to make up the 10 in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the illustrations, you've got the animal, but part of the illustration is the sound that the animal makes.
Okay.
So for each illustration, you've got like the bee. Above the bee's head is the word buzz, and that's done in the same, it's done in like an illustrative style.
Yes.
And then the line, you've got roar. So basically you've got the text then, because Sean said, right, you know, it is unusual. Normally they would receive an outline of a story or some text
from authors. Yeah.
With no illustrations. I think he said that, you know, this is one of the very few times he's had the illustrations, but with no text.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I went back and then wrote a paragraph for each animal. And then the last line is the lead into the word, you know, that their voice, if you like, on
Absolutely.
Each page.
Yeah, yeah. So really, as we said, it's a bit back to front it started off as. But I mean, clearly, happily for you and for Sean and all at Candy Jar, it's worked out very well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been amazed at the response to it. I sort of do fairs and things, I've done probably over 30 school visits. I do local school visits with the book.
Excellent, yeah, yes.
And that's been great fun, because you can imagine, you know, opportunity for the children to really sort of shout out the sounds of the animals.
Of course, loving it.
Yeah, that's gone well.
And so apart from obviously the children that are already in school, though, I mean, the book really, as we've already told our lovely listeners, works literally from babies upwards.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think babies and toddlers like that the illustrations are very colourful. And then obviously as a child learns to read. In fact, I've got an old school friend actually who teaches. She's been living out in Madrid for, oh crikey, probably about 35 years. And she has used the books to teach English to the Spanish children out there.
Yeah, and yes.
Which is fantastic.
Well, I mean, there's another branch, and it gives you another few ideas, doesn't it, probably for future projects?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a website, and on the website, a charity called Cued Speech UK, that's CUED, Cued Speech.
Right.
It's unlike sign language, they use sort of hand shapes and positions near the mouth, which sort of clarifies lip patterns as mm-hmm. you speak. And they got in touch with me, and they've actually filmed the animal says using cued speech. So it just opens up the book then for deaf children that want to enjoy the book, which is amazing.
What a lovely idea. Goodness me. And I mean, that must make you feel very humble when, you know, you get such a group come to you and say, look, you know, we really think that there's a wonderful partnership to be had here.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, the feedback I've had, you know, not only parents are buying the book, grandparents are buying it. And a lot of people have got sort of families that live abroad or, you know, Australia. I mean, they've gone all over the world, the animal says. It's incredible.
Great.
I mean, next year, Exmouth has got a deaf academy. And I'm actually going to go there in March. Actually, they've gotten really quick, actually, because they booked me for World Book Day.
Excellent.
And I'm going to read both my books, because I've just got a new book out as well. And they're going to use British Sign Language. So
yes.
That, again, that's another direction to go in, which is great.
Well, it sounds to me, though, that as slightly inadvertently, you've stumbled across a wonderful extra area now that you can move into with your books. And I mean, clearly, as we said, thinking then ahead about some of the future work that you're going to do, I've got no doubt that obviously children with you know, hearing problems, even learning disabilities, whatever it may be, there must be so many assets now that you can bring to the table and say, look, I think this would really work.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, what's really lovely for me too is I've got it into, I think it's about six Devon libraries, including my own hometown. I
Yes.
mean, that's fantastic. I've done some library visits, you know, to see your book on the shelf. I mean, yeah, I mean,
It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
yeah, I think with COVID, I don't know, I think it there was, I mean, it's an awful, awful time, terrible time, but I think in some ways it sort of made people maybe reassess what they wanted to do. And life was a bit uncertain, and it was
Yes.
that case of, well, if I don't, you know, let's just do it. You know, I keep putting things off. Let's just give it a go. And I think it, yeah, because I really don't think if I would have done it without having that time to myself. I don't think I would have done it.
No, well, in fairness, Deborah, you're not the first author that's come on the program here, a fledgling author, if you like, who has said some, things along the same line that, yep, being sat in the house there, pretty much told you can't go out, or if you do, you can only go out for a short period of time, walk around, whatever it is, half a mile away from your house, and then you've got to come back. It has concentrated so many people's minds, I think, and out of what was clearly a desperately difficult and at times tragic times for people, for a lot of people, it's set them off on a new path, hasn't it?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, a bit cheekily, really, because it was only my first book, but I entered an awards last year, the Wishing
Okay.
Shelf Book Awards.
Yes.
And then I found out it was in the picture book category. And then I found out in March of this year that the Animal Says had actually become a finalist,
Right.
which was just amazing. And what made it even better was that they send the books out to schools. So as you know, children will speak as they find. They don't sugarcoat
Oh,
anything.
yes. Oh, yes.
And yeah, so they judged it. So the fact that the children judged it and I became a finalist, I mean, I was absolutely delighted with that. I mean, very unexpected. So it sort of, I suppose it sort of spurred me on to think, do you know what? Okay, I'm going to stick with this. So, and that's why I brought out my second one, which is Grow Tall Sid.
Okay, so give us a little bit of a tale of what that involves.
Well, Grow Tall Sid is it's a story of Sid. He's a sunflower seed, so he's small and grey, but he wants to be tall and bright like all the other flowers in the garden.
Right.
So basically, it's his journey growing into a sunflower plant. There's a few extra little characters brought in. There's the earthworm, and there's a snail and a ladybird and a bee. So
Yes.
basically, it's sort of educational, like the animal says, but told in a story form, and it just explains the life cycle of the sunflower. And I've already done a few book visits, school visits rather, with that one. And I'm getting great feedback again from the teachers because that was a more of a story
Yeah.
which I wrote. And again, they sort of said, again, the illustrations are colourful, but they said I've pitched the text just right for them to understand, because of course, especially the summer term, a lot of the schools do cover in their curriculum
Yeah.
plants and growing, and they grow their own sunflowers. So yeah, it was good timing really.
So really, you've found yourself though a bit of a new career in a way, haven't you? Because clearly, yes, illustrating always, I suppose, close to your heart and your first love. But I mean, what you are proving by what you've just said is that you do have the ability to put a few words down on a piece of paper. It makes sense, and obviously, you're getting great reaction to the stories as well from teachers and as well as mums and dads and grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, art is my first love. So it's for me, it always starts with the art and the
Yes,
illustrations.
yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, you know. And then I go to schools, and then some of them say, "Oh, I've already got your book, and I love your book." And then friends send me pictures of their grandchildren reading the book. Yeah, I mean,
Lovely.
you know, I'll be honest, it has brought me to tears sometimes. It's just lovely.
Well, I guess it, as you say, in your quietest moments, you sit there and you think, well, yeah, actually, I'm doing something that I love, but it's also something now that other people love. And as you alluded to a little bit earlier on, of course, with children, yeah, it's either good or bad, black or white. There's no grey or maybe in between. They either love it or hate it or whatever. So the fact that you are getting such great vibes back from the children when you go to do school visits or readings in libraries, whatever it may be, I mean, it's just a knockout, isn't it, really?
Oh, it's fun. I sort of feel that, it's helping children or perhaps encourage children to read. The thing is, particularly, I think, with a lot of sort of picture books, I think the illustrations, it connects children to the story. You know, it makes it interesting for them to look at.
Yes.
And I think then they want to read it. You know, if it's attractive, they want to look inside. It brings the characters alive. And then children then ask more questions beyond that book, don't they? They want to find out a bit more.
Sure.
And then when I do my school visits, I read the book, and then I pass around, because I've sort of I print the illustrations and I laminate them so they can pass them around. And then I talk about how I've made the illustrations and talk about their art lessons in their class and everything. They're always keen to know how I make the pictures.
Well, that's understandable, I suppose, because as we said, being a little bit old school and so tactile, I mean, clearly children straight away are going to want to hold them, aren't they, and look at them, because, all right, computer-generated artwork clearly is inevitably going to be the way forward in years to come in the main.
Yeah.
But as we've said, it gets the kids interested, doesn't it, to see something that really does look, and I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm being derogatory by saying homemade as such, but I mean, clearly it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, and because I suppose the illustrations are very colourful, quite simple, I want to say sort of childlike, but it also hopefully will inspire them to think, well, actually, in fact, they say this to me, they say, oh, I've written a book, or I've done some stories, you know, and I say to them, well, keep at it,
yes.
You know, because you never know.
No.
You might have your book in a few years' time. So, I suppose they look at the illustrations and they love them, and they try to sort of copy them or emulate them. And, it inspires them, which again is fantastic.
Which is brilliant. So tell me, in the early days of doing the book and so on, did you have some young children around you who you were able to use, dare we say, as guinea pigs?
Not really, because, I mean, my children are, I mean, my daughter is 28, just got married about a week, 2 weeks ago. And my son is 24. So there isn't actually that many young children in our family.
Right.
But I suppose, you know, they were young once, obviously, my children. So,
And, of course, with COVID as well, I mean, it wasn't like you could be jumping around and taking stuff to show people as much as you might have done under normal circumstances.
Well, this is it. I don't know. It was just a big leap of faith, really, on my part. I just thought, you know what? I love these illustrations. My thought process literally was, I love these illustrations. You know, if my children were young again, I'd have them.
Yes,
They look really nice in a picture book. And that was as... That was about as far as I thought ahead. These
would
love being a picture book. I'm going to find out about some children's publishers, and that's what I did. I just emailed. So, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really expecting to hear anything back. I just wasn't.
No.
I know how difficult it is to get a book published, and it's just been amazing.
So Candy Jar came up trumps, and hopefully now you won't look back. What we need to tell our lovely listeners, Deborah, is where they can find out more information about you. So please let us know any sort of social media bits and pieces that we need to know.
Sure. I'm on Instagram, and I've set up a separate account for my two books. So that would be at The Animal Says.
Yep.
And I've got a website, which is www.theanimalsays.co.uk.
Right.
And both books are on there. But I'd just like to say now, take this opportunity, you know, to thank Candy Jar Books, particularly Sean Russell, who's worked alongside me, and he's just made all this possible. It's just been fantastic.
Brilliant.
It's just been amazing.
Well, there we are. We need to start to draw the conversation to a close, because time is beating us, as always. But a few more projects, obviously, in the pipeline in the future, hopefully, Deborah?
Yeah, I can't live by the sea and not do my next book about sea creatures, so probably that's what it will be.
Oh, excellent.
Again, thinking about the illustrations, what sort of creatures I could create.
Yes.
And again, you know, perhaps touching on, you know, the fact we've got to look after our oceans.
Of course, of course.
So, yeah, so probably what it'll be one about sea life will be my next one.
Marvellous. Well, Deborah, it's been fun talking to you this morning. Lovely to have you on the show. Hopefully we can talk again maybe in a few months' time when you're a bit further down the line with a new project. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Kerry. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. There we are. Well, we will give the book another mention before the end of the show so that you have all the information, you lovely people. But that's Deborah there. And talking about a great book, I think, for the little ones. And that's called The Animal Says.